local leaders, top stories, the news that matters most to you. The News Drive at 5 with host Patrick Reynolds starts now.
Welcome to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk Radio. I am Patrick Reynolds taking you home on this Wednesday afternoon, 5:06 p.m. Eastern Time on the big old clock on the phone. Hope you're all having a good drive, safe drive home. I came to the studio from Ballantyne this afternoon and up 77 from there to our studio in Statesville. Quite the ride, quite the adventure. So please be careful out there and hope everybody is having a safe ride home. You just heard Town Talk with Bill Russell every Wednesday at 4 p.m. here on WSIC News Talk. Bill is the president of the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce. So much to connect with in our community from Iredell County, Lake Norman, North Charlotte. Bill Russell and the Lake Norman Chamber pretty much cover it all. So don't miss Town Talk. Wednesday afternoons, 4 p.m. Eastern Time here on WSIC. Our top 5 at 5 News Drive at 5 headlines that we are tracking for you this afternoon. The Cornelius police are searching for a man who committed a lewd act. A Mecklenburg County deputy has been fired. The killer of a Huntersville woman has been captured. We've got some town meeting updates for around the region, and a new fireboat will be christened in Cornelius. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. The first rule in talk radio is listening. Our ears are open if you'd like to join the show. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. To your local News Drive at 5 headlines this afternoon. In Cornelius, police are seeking assistance to locate a man said to have committed a lewd act in the presence of a victim over the weekend. According to Cornelius police, the suspect was seen on March the 17th around 4:30 p.m. on a trail near the McDowell Creek Greenway and behind Robbins Preserve Road. The suspect was photographed wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt, black mask, sunglasses, a hat, and sweatpants. The Cornelius Police Department is seeking anyone who may have been on the Greenway during this time and observe the suspect to call Cornelius Police Department. Officers are also asking for anyone who lives in this area with a doorbell or exterior camera to review the footage to see if they captured video of the subject. If anyone has observed a similar incident or a person matching the suspect's description, call the police. In Charlotte, a deputy with the Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office was arrested for violating a domestic violence protective order, according to the Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office. James Scott was arrested by the Iredell County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Gary McFadden said, "Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office prioritizes the safety of all individuals. The violation of a domestic violence order by my deputy is a clear breach of trust, and their termination reflects my commitment to holding everyone accountable," end quote. Scott was employed from the MCSO from September 7th, 2022 to March 19th, 2024. In Huntersville, a Charlotte man who is accused of shooting and killing a Huntersville woman inside a vehicle Tuesday has been captured in Virginia. Authorities said Raman Ferguson of Charlotte will be charged with murder in the shooting death of Sarita Samuels, also of Huntersville. On Tuesday, March the 19th, Huntersville officers responded to the report of an unresponsive woman inside a vehicle on Hylas Lane. As officers approached the crime scene, they found a woman inside the vehicle who had been shot. She was pronounced deceased by the scene by medic. Witnesses reported to Huntersville police that they heard gunshots and saw a man get out of the woman's vehicle right after the shots were heard. The man was seen getting into a black Dodge Ram truck and driving away from the area. Video surveillance from the area Walgreens gave detectives more information on the truck. Detectives were able to develop Ferguson as the suspect and discovered the two knew each other. He was later found traveling in his truck, fleeing north through Virginia. Alexandria police informed Huntersville police that officer tried to stop his truck, and he fled from them twice, crashed, and then ran. He was taken into custody following a search of the area. Also in Huntersville, the Fox and Hound, a mainstay in Brookdale Village for 20 years, has abruptly closed. Its location, next to the new Bar Taco, a major new investment in Brookdale, along with expansions or improvements at Bricks, Ease Fusion, and a makeover rebranding Dressler's, now known as Finn and Fino. Fox and Hound served burgers and sandwiches, bowls, cocktails, wine and beer, holding popular trivia nights each Wednesday as well. Brookdale Village has undergone a two-year transition to a more upscale mix on the retail side. Brookdale officials said Fox & Hound's lease is expiring. The officials said, quote, "We have mutually agreed to part ways. We are grateful for the community's support of the restaurant and look forward to sharing an exciting update about the space soon," end quote. Red Rocks has spent between $700,000 and $800,000 on a renovation last year. Qdoba closed in 2022. That is where Bricks is now located. The Huntersville Fox & Hound location has already been removed from parts of their Fox & Hound corporate website. In Cornelius, well, it's a good time to be buying a boat, not so much to be selling them, evidently. The industry is down due to interest rates and ongoing shifts in consumer confidence, especially around big-ticket items. Ed Watkins Marine in Cornelius has closed, with no apparent plans to reopen anytime soon. The National Marine Manufacturers Association say 2023 was a disappointing year for new powerboat retail sales, and 2024 is expected to be a repeat. A veteran Lake Norman boat dealer said he pulled way back on inventory and expenses last year because he saw the slowdown coming. He said, quote, "It seemed obvious it was going to come to me, but making it through 08 and 09 gave me a different perspective," end quote. Adding that Watkinson's Denver location has apparently closed as well. High interest rates have softened demand and increased carrying costs. Meanwhile, there are leftover 2023 models galore that are being sold at extremely low margins, the boat dealer said. In 2022, sales of new powerboat, engine, trailer, and accessories in North Carolina reached $1.37 billion, up 10.4% from 2021. More from Cornelius. The Cornelius Fireboat 4, named the Simon Aliotta in honor of a four-year-old boy who died from a rare brain tumor in 2007, is back in service. The 14-year-old boat is now faster and more powerful and ready to take on virtually any kind of lake disaster, ranging from a boating incident to a fire in a large waterfront home. Refurbished stem to stern at a cost of nearly $300,000, the boat has a new Volvo D4 engines rated at 320 horsepower each, new transmissions, paint, electronics, fuel tanks, and windows. It will be christened along with two new fire trucks and a new police boat near the boat ramps at Ramsey Creek Park from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on March the 22nd. We've got more coming up from your local headlines, more from the traffic updates, town updates, budget, lots of town meetings. Your local headlines roll on. This is the News Drive at 5. Patrick Reynolds here on WSIC.
More of the News Drive at 5 after we pay the bills on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. The News Drive at 5 continues now on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Here's your host, Patrick Reynolds.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here at WSIC News Talk Radio. I am Patrick Reynolds. It's Wednesday, 5:18 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you all for joining us and getting informed on the News Drive at 5. We've got lots of updates from local town meetings dealing with all kinds of topics. Let's dive into Mooresville, where commissioners authorized a $500,000 investment toward traffic flow enhancement. through the downtown area at their recent meeting, targeting an issue discussed in some fashion at basically every town board session. The board unanimously approved a $566,000 professional services contract with RS&H Architects, Engineers, Planners for work to evaluate recommendations and push toward the implementation of a variety of street network changes identified as priorities in a 2022 downtown transportation study. The meeting presentation, delivered by transportation planner Camilla Weckerly, highlighted multiple aspects of the proposed changes, which included a long-discussed new traffic signal at the intersection of North Academy Street and West Iredell Avenue, along with a mix of intersection changes that include turn lane additions, light-protected turns, and at a few intersections, the elimination of turn options. Weckerly said the study was basically a TIA for downtown, referencing the traffic impact analysis step required for most development proposals that evaluates current and projected traffic volumes and routes, along with the intersection improvements that would have the most positive impact on anticipated traffic flow. The downtown sections of Iredell Avenue, a route through town that links Plaza Drive, which is North Carolina 150 and North Carolina 3, emerges as ground zero of the study, which focuses on current points of regular congestion, especially those linked to turning traffic. Study recommendations to be evaluated include restrictions on all left turns from Main Street onto Iredell Avenue, with a new right turn lane added for southbound Main Street traffic at that intersection, and a protected left turn signal phase for Iredell Avenue traffic turning left onto Main Street. Technical adjustments are also part of the plan, including delayed signals at some intersections to provide protection for pedestrians and a system-wide look at signal timing sequences based on new expectations for traffic flow. Also at the meeting, the board approved a staff-recommended developer-proposed change in rules to allow more than just one single-family home on flag lots, properties with only a stem or flagpole connection to a road. The change would allow duplexes and other building types while providing incentives for developers to include affordable units, with construction of those units required without a payment in lieu option. Adjustments also included a reduction in allowable width and an extension in allowable length of the flagpole length to the developable property. In his presentation, Senior Planner David Cole said staff had identified up to 18 properties in the downtown area that could meet the redefined criteria for development. Jumping to Huntersville, in a brief and simple meeting on Monday, the Huntersville Town Board made a major schedule change to better support town staff and united to settle an issue that has divided residents for more than a year. Starting the 1st of July, town board meetings will move to Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. Commissioners voted to move the meeting from the traditional Monday night schedule to allow town staff more time to prepare. Agendas are typically released shortly before the weekend. The town board also unanimously voted to approve a rezoning that will allow Long Creek Family Entertainment to move forward. Jonathan Urey and Katie Carpenter first requested last June to rezone 2.5 acres from 3 parcels on Beatty's Ford Road in the Long Creek community, transitioning them from rural district to highway commercial conditional district. The proposal came before the last board in September, where a motion to approve failed by a vote of 2-3. In December, the newly instated board directed town staff to call for and re-advertise a public hearing for the rezoning after the applicants were made several changes to alleviate neighbors concerned. Neighbors for and against the proposal spoke at the public hearing and several times during public comments at town board meetings before the rezoning came to a vote. Commissioner Amanda Dumas asked town planner Nathan Farber to clarify which parts of the proposal could move forward without rezoning approval. Farber stated that the outdoor recreational portion was a by right use, meaning the couple did not need town approval to operate sand volleyball courts at the home. She also received confirmation that by including the hours of operation in the motion to approve the rezoning, the town would be adding requirements to the property. Commissioner Alicia Bergsman, before making the lengthy motion to approve the rezoning, sought assurances from town planning staff that some policies within the 2040 community plan and small area plans could be interpreted as both supporting and not supporting a proposal, to which Planning Director Brian Richards responded, yes. Town staff had recommended denial of the proposal, saying it was inconsistent with the 2040 community plan and local small area plans, but Bergsman found reason to believe some of those same-sided policies supported approval of the proposal. In her motion to approve, she cited how those plans encouraged economic development and entrepreneurship to balance the tax base, and how the Beatty's Ford Road Corridor Plan identifies Long Creek as an urban hamlet and encourages mixed-use development in the area. Expressing her support, Commissioner Jennifer Hunt said the rezoning was needed for the co-working and retail element in the project, and none of the objections raised by residents were towards those components. Hunt said, quote, the project will still retain much of its rural character through outdoor recreation, pollinator habitats, tree saves, and a turtle sanctuary. To me, this is the epitome of rural character, end quote. To Lincolnton, the annual growth management report was presented by Andrew Bryant, the town's development services director, in a joint meeting held between the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners and Lincoln County Board of Education. The bulk of the elementary schools on the eastern side of the county are close to, if not already, over capacity, with further growth anticipated in 2023 due to the pipeline expansion. East Lincoln Middle is currently at 73.8%, with North Lincoln Middle 78.6%. East Lincoln High School is at 93.7% and North Lincoln High at 85.1%. A detailed and impassioned presentation was then made by Lincoln County Schools Superintendent Aaron Allen, which culminated with a budget request of $6.1 million over the fiscal year 2024 request, which Allen admitted was a lot of money. He said, quote, the reason it's so large is that we didn't come back to you for operational expenses. Some of this is personnel related. If you take the costs over the past 3.5 years that we've absorbed the cost of operational expenses, this gets us to where we need to be to maintain our operation, end quote. Allen also said that the board wanted to amend their original plan to build a new middle school on Old Plank Road and renovate East Lincoln Middle into an elementary school to a new plan to add on to St. James Elementary, Catawba Springs Elementary, Rock Springs Elementary, Iron Station Elementary, East Middle, and the School of Technology. See, he said, quote, it's an issue that we all will have to be aware of because adding a construction site to a school isn't ideal, and there's things that we'll have to deal with by doing that. We think that adding these to these schools will be beneficial to maintain and grow our school communities and cultures. We know growth is where it is and that parents will buy homes based on where the schools are. This will eliminate the uproar that comes along with redrawing lines, end quote. The estimated total cost for these expansions is almost $65 million. A third budget workshop will be held by the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners on Friday, March the 22nd at 10 a.m., at which point the budget requests submitted by Lincoln County Schools as well as the remaining budget matters should be discussed in depth. In other business in Lincoln County, the proposed rezoning of a little over 26 acres to permit construction of 173 townhomes on the north side of North Carolina 73 and the west side of North Ingalls Farm Road at the intersection of the two roads in Denver, which drew a standing room only crowd to the March 4th joint meeting of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners and Lincoln County Planning Board, was withdrawn by developer D.R. Horton prior to the meeting. The rezoning matter requested by Susan Donaldson for property on the south side of King Wilkinson Road in Iron Station to allow for new manufactured homes was approved unanimously. The second matter, a request submitted by KAT Properties, LLC, to rezone property located on North Carolina 16 to allow for a construction office, parking lot, and enclosed shop, was denied 3-2 upon motion by Commissioner Jamie Lineberger that it was not consistent with the Lincoln County land use plan. Commissioners Kathy Davis and Carol Mitchum voted against the motion. Both of the above matters were approved unanimously by the planning board. Back to Mooresville, the Mooresville Graded School District Board meeting, Chief Financial Officer Angie Davis presented the proposed 2024-2025 budget to the Mooresville Graded School District Board. The $27.6 million budget, which reflects a $1.1 million increase over last year, passed unanimously. To avoid budget surprises, David said she took a conservative approach to estimating revenues and overestimated on expenditures when constructing the budget based on last year's funding from Iredell County and state funding sources. This is the News Drive at 5. I'm Patrick Reynolds here on WSIC News Talk. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more of the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds in just a moment on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Call 844-STUDIO-4 now to join in the conversation on the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here in WSIC News Talk for your Wednesday afternoon, 5:35 p.m. Eastern Time. I am Patrick Reynolds on your ride home, 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. Get you live on the air right here in the studio. We would love to hear from you. Back to more of your local headlines here on the News Drive at 5, and continuing with this report from the Mooresville Graded School District, salaries are estimated to increase an average of 3%. The matching retirement rate is legislated to decrease from 25.02% to 24.04%. The cost of health insurance for each eligible employee is legislated to increase from $7,500 to just over $8,000, about a $538 increase. Also noted were the expansion of private and charter schools, how they're continuing to decrease state funding for some key instructional and support positions. The expiration of the final round of federal ESSER funds in September of 2024 will also throw any recurring expenses funded by these dollars into the local current expense budget, if not eliminated. The 2024-2025 budget continues to reflect increases in many areas due to economic impacts, including rising costs for insurance premiums, fuel prices, and supplies and material. The budget includes over $14 million expected from the county, over $10 million from the local school tax, $255,000 from fines and forfeitures, and $725,000 from fund balance. Davis also presented several budget amendments to the current budget to account for new revenues and funds coming in from various sources, which the board also passed unanimously. Davis said the state of North Carolina has two options for supplemental retirement savings, the North Carolina 457 plan and the North Carolina 401k plan, which is currently offered in the Mooresville Graded School District. The optional North Carolina 457 plan will benefit all employees with both pre-tax and Roth options, regardless of retirement benefit status, unlike the current 401k offering. By adopting the additional North Carolina 457 plan administered through Empower, Mooresville Graded School District will strengthen the current suite of benefit offerings for employees. Davis said both plans perform well for employees and are available to them at no cost to the district. The board approved this expansion employee retirement investment options. Chief Operating Officer Scott Smith presented a request to purchase bus cameras to replace the malfunctioning ones now in service. This fall, Mooresville Graded School District was awarded funding through the state safety grant, One of the top priorities for equipment in the grant was to replace the bus camera systems in all yellow buses. The school district has also been awarded funds through a stop arm grant through a state transportation grant. The board approved the purchase of bus cameras and equipment from Safety Vision in the amount of $116,000. The purchase price is being secured through a cooperative purchasing program agreement. Smith said the grant funds will add new cameras to 40 of the district buses. The board also approved the summer testing plan presented to the board last month. The state allows school districts to offer summer testing opportunities for EOG and EOC testings outside of the traditional school calendar with district board approval. This opportunity allows students who were close to proficiency to take the EOGs and EOCs again after remediation. While the student score does not count for school growth, it does count for school and district proficiency calculations. Among the proposed offerings are a summer career accelerator for CTE enrichment, including hands-on skills and project-based learning in STEM for rising 6th through 8th and 9th through 10th graders. A summer testing opportunity for students who scored not proficient on state tests to receive remediation and tests again. This applies to EOGs and 3rd through 8th grade and high school EOCs. Among the proposed offerings also, the Read to Review to Achieve program, that's Read to Achieve, which the state funded for grades 2 and 3. Students demonstrating difficulty with reading can receive 72 hours of literacy instructions. Also proposed was Why Readers, which serves at-risk kindergarten and first grade students in reading through a partnership with the Lowe's YMCA. The six-week camp also includes off-site field trips. About 65 students will be served through the program. Also proposed, high school summer school for students who did not receive course credit can take classes for credit recovery or new courses online for credit. NF Woods will host its own summer school. And also proposed, Jumpstart is for students at key transition years to help them get to know their new school, offered for rising kindergarten students, rising sixths, and rising ninth graders. Chief Communications Officer Tanae McLean presented a technical revision to board policy because the current policy does not allow sixth graders to participate in school-sponsored sports. This revision will match state policy. The revision states, in accordance with state policies, students in the 6th through 12th grade are eligible to participate in interscholastic athletics, with the exception that students in the 6th grade cannot participate in tackle football. The board approved this policy change. The next Mooresville Graded School Board meeting will be on Tuesday, April 9th at 6 p.m. at East Mooresville Intermediate School. In Iredell County, the county has hired Rodney Harris to serve as assistant county manager. He will begin work on April 22nd. Harris has served as deputy county manager for Cabarrus County since 2019, helping oversee day-to-day operations. He began his career in local government with Mecklenburg County as an enterprise management analyst before being promoted to director of business and financial management and procurement manager. He also served as financial manager for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department. County Manager Beth Mull said, quote, Rodney's vast knowledge and experience in county government makes him the perfect addition to the administrative team, end quote. Harris earned a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science and a Master of Public Administration, both from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, as well as a certificate for participation in the North Carolina Municipal and County Administrative Course in Public Executive Leadership Academy through the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He is a certified local government finance officer, certified government financial manager, certified Six Sigma Green Belt, and an active participant in professional organizations, including the International County and City Management Association, Government Finance Officers Association, and North Carolina City and County Management Association. In Huntersville, the nonprofit behind a vision to create a therapeutic farm for displaced veterans on the west side of Huntersville announced it will be looking for another location. Veterans Stand Down had planned to develop a transitional farm near the intersection of Beatty's Ford Road and Brown Mill Road as a place where homeless veterans can find a haven and transition back into the workforce while raising crops, participating in canine and equine therapy, and developing camaraderie through fishing and fire pit gatherings. Mecklenburg County Parks and Recreation purchased the 38-acre tract last fall with plans to lease 15 acres to Veterans Stand Down. The nonprofit was scheduled to appear at a county public policy meeting on March 26th, but the organization has decided to move on due to numerous concerns with the lease. Chief among them was a requirement that the homeless veterans pay rent for the 8 donated tiny homes planned on the property, the forbidding of any type of emergency shelter, the capping of only 25 individuals on the property at one time, which would affect therapeutic services, and a caveat that the lease was for 5 years, but the county could terminate the lease at any time with only 30 days' notice. County Commissioner George Dunlap had previously stated it would be a simple land lease to the nonprofit. I am Patrick Reynolds. You're listening to WSIC News Talk Radio. News Drive at 5 rolls on. We'll be right back.
Keep it here. We'll be back with more of the News Drive at 5 with Patrick straight ahead on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. It's the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
The News Drive at 5 is back here on WSIC News Talk on this Wednesday, March the 20th, 2024, 5:48 p.m. on the East Coast, 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464 are the hotlines for you to call in the listener lines to the WSIC News Talk studio. Continuing on with the News Drive at 5 local headlines in Cornelius. It's almost too easy to see why Cornelius Presbyterian Church can be overlooked in the hustle and bustle of downtown Cornelius. The solemn brick building, it was built 101 years ago, stands quietly on the corner of Catawba Avenue and School Street, while cars cruise by and people walk to Old Town Cornelius. Well, after more than a century, the congregation is in a place of transition. Despite being a well-established church, it was founded in 1909 when Cornelius was a cotton farming community, while the attendance has fallen following a nationwide trend. Reverend Dr. Terry Swicegood, pastor of Cornelius Presbyterian Church, said, quote, "We are a warm and vibrant family of faith with 50 members. We are fond of saying that we are a small church with a big heart. The bond of love we feel for each other is real and palpable," end quote. The small but united congregation recently refreshed the church inside and out thanks to large donations totaling more than $20,000. The landscape was cleared up and beautified, outdoor lighting added, the large wood doors refinished, and benches added by a local Eagle Scout. The interior also received fresh coats of paint. Members hope the renewed building will feel inviting to newcomers. Karen Faber, an elder at the church, said, quote, "The rooms are all light and bright and cheery, and this church is just ready for people," end quote. Faber said she joined recently after visiting several churches and finding members of the Cornelius Presbyterian Church to me the most interesting in welcoming her. She and her husband were new to the area, and she was looking for a sense of community, something that the church strives to provide. Swicegood said, quote, "We are interested in the unchurched people. Many are struggling with some sort of problem or seeking genuine friendship. We would love to become home to someone who has fallen into spiritual slumber. Let us help each other. Let us get inspired each week. Let us be your new church home," end quote. Faber said she enjoys seeing the same faces every Sunday, but the sermons are so good that it seems like the audience should be bigger. Faber said, "Swicegood is wonderful. He preaches a wonderful sermon, but it's just a pretty, pretty church. It needs people in order to do God's work," end quote. To celebrate the property's facelift and recognize the 100th anniversary of the church building's completion and opening in 1924, Cornelius Presbyterian Church will hold a dedication during the service on Sunday, April 14th, followed by cake in the Wayland Center next door. The Wayland Center, which was the manse that housed early pastors, is named after the Reverend J.E. Wayland, who served as pastor to both Cornelius Presbyterian Church and its mother church, Bethel Presbyterian Church. He did that for 42 years. Members hope that people will come out for the dedication and see what Cornelius Presbyterian Church has to offer within the century-old walls, which were painstakingly constructed by townspeople from bricks salvaged after a Davidson College dormitory burned down. The founders made the wise decision to put it on the principal residential street in town at the time, building the sanctuary tall and wide so it would be an imposing structure in the young town. Faber said, quote, "This church has so much going for it. It has location, 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 and Cornelius is popping with people and homes and families," end quote. The public is invited to the dedication on April 14th at 10:30 a.m., and everyone is always welcome to attend a Sunday service starting at 10:30 a.m. at Cornelius Presbyterian Church. The Iredell County Board of Commissioners recognized one longtime employee, Linda Hicks, for her dedicated service to the county. Hicks, who works in the tax administration office, is retiring after 37 years and 1 month of service. She was presented a plaque during Tuesday's board meeting. She has seen many changes throughout her career. Early in Hicks's career, the staff would handwrite on property cards and file records in fireproof cabinets. The office was busy with realtors, attorneys, and taxpayers coming in the office to obtain tax information. On July 1st, 1998, Hicks was promoted to assistant tax collector under Joe Ketchy. After 19 years, she returned to the tax assessor's office. In 2017, Hicks took the position of real property tax specialist supervisor. She served under Malia Miller. Hicks worked with deed transfers, real property exemptions, releases, and other related matters. According to her coworkers, Hicks always had a smile on her face and a positive attitude, and she will be greatly missed. Chairman Melissa Nieder said, quote, "Congratulations to Linda, to a job well done," end quote. Commissioners thanked Hicks for her service and expressed their appreciation for her dedication to Iredell County. Hicks says she plans on spending more time with her family and volunteering in the community. Hicks recalled, quote, "I remember when I started, we did have one computer and you weren't to touch it. When I started, everything was written on the books, and now everything is in computers, and we try to go paperless," end quote. She thanked her family and co-workers for the support. Hicks said, quote, "It's been a wonderful career. I've loved it. I love the people that I have worked with," end quote. Recapping some of our top stories we reported on earlier in the news drive at 5 in Cornelius. People are seeking assistance to locate a man said to have committed a lewd act in the presence of a victim over the weekend. According to Cornelius police, the suspect was seen on March 17th around 4:30 p.m. on a trail near the McDowell Creek Greenway and behind Robbins Preserve Road. The suspect was photographed wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt, black mask, sunglasses, a hat, and sweatpants. The Cornelius Police Department is seeking anyone who may have been on the Greenway during this time and observed the suspect to call the Cornelius Police Department. Officers are also asking for anyone who lives in this area with a doorbell or exterior camera to review the footage to see if they captured video of this subject. If anyone has observed a similar incident or a person matching the suspect's description, call the Cornelius Police Department. In Charlotte, a deputy with the Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office was arrested for violating a domestic violence protective order, according to the Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office. James Scott was arrested by the Iredell County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Gary McFadden said, quote, "The MCSO prioritizes the safety of all individuals. The violation of a domestic violence order by my deputy is a clear breach of trust, and their termination reflects my commitment to holding everyone accountable," end quote. Scott was employed with the Mooresville County Sheriff's Office from September 7th, 2022 to March 19th, 2024. A Charlotte man who is accused of shooting and killing a Huntersville woman inside a vehicle Tuesday has been captured in Virginia. Authorities say Rahman Ferguson of Charlotte will be charged with murder in the shooting death of Sarita Samuels of Huntersville. On Tuesday, March 19th, Huntersville officers responded to the report of an unresponsive woman inside a vehicle on Hylas Lane. As officers arrived at the crime scene, they found a woman inside the vehicle who had been shot. She was pronounced deceased at the scene by medic. Witnesses reported to Huntersville police that they heard gunshots and saw a man get out of the woman's vehicle right after the shots were heard. The man was seen getting into a black Dodge Ram truck and driving away from the area. Video surveillance from the area Walgreens gave detectives more information on the truck. Detectives were able to develop Ferguson as the suspect and discovered the two knew each other. He was later found traveling in the truck, fleeing north through Virginia. Alexandria police informed Huntersville police that officers tried to stop his truck, and he fled from them twice, crashed, and also ran. He was taken into custody following a search of the area. In Huntersville, Fox and Hound, a mainstay in Brookdale Village for 20 years, has abruptly closed. Its location next to the new Bar Taco, a new major investment in Brookdale, along with expansions and improvements at Bricks, East Fuchin, and a makeover rebranding at Dressler's, which is now known as Fin and Fino. Fox and Hound served burgers and sandwiches, bowls, cocktails, wine and beer, held popular trivia nights each Wednesday night as well. Brookdale Village has undergone a two-year transition to a more upscale mix on the retail side. Brookdale officials said Fox and Hound's lease is expiring. Well, the news drive at 5 is coming towards the top of the hour. Weekdays, we are here Monday through Friday, every day, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Following us, Joe Berg hosts the scoreboard coming up at the top of the hour. Joe is alongside me tonight. Joe, how are you doing and what's coming up on the scoreboard?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a beautiful day out there and, you know, it's a beautiful day for sports.
Every day is a beautiful day for sports.
You're right, but we have the NCAA tournament going on.
Okay, you fill out your bracket yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I will not fill out my bracket until the final play-in game is completed.
Okay, when is that? I thought they were all Tuesday. Might have been my mistake.
The final play-in game is at 9:10 tonight. That's when it starts.
Okay, so will you have a preview for us? Or I heard your monologue yesterday wasn't really part of the tournament in your mind.
It's not. It's not. It isn't. But we will talk about the two play-in games we already had.
We won't give too much away. You want to hear more? Tune into the scoreboard coming up in just moments away. Joe Berg hosts that every night, 6 p.m. here on WSIC News Talk. This has been the News Drive at 5. I am Patrick Reynolds. Thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.